Book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7. Then turn on the mic. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7. We are living in, I believe we are living last days. How close we are to the coming of the Lord, I don't know. But we're supposed to live as if he was coming today. Imminent, amen. That's the word, the imminent return of the Lord. I mean, he's coming. And we're not supposed to be looking for signs and everything else. Amen. We're supposed to be looking forward to Jesus coming again. Amen. And we're a lot of things are happening in our world that's kind of like what I call precursors, or kind of like their trial runs or testings of what's coming ahead. You know, as you look at things, and man, they're trying to make people do certain things, and people going along with things, and people are kind of like, some people, even, you know, it's bad when liberals are starting to complain, amen? And they're the ones out there saying, man, I can't believe they're doing this. And, you know, that's getting bad when that, when liberals are starting to complain. But we see all that going on in our country, but then also we see a lot of other things, not only in our country, but also see in our churches today. We see a lot of churches going the wrong way. And I guess a lot of them are caving into just contemporaryism. They're caving into a lot of that type of stuff, and they're, I guess, caving into compromising and whatnot. And it's sad to see that. I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, the desire to please the younger generation. A lot of parents today, I find, as they're more interested in pleasing their kids and obeying their kids than they are trying to lead them, train them, and raise them up, nurture that mission of the Lord. Amen. And I think a lot of that has affected the church. Some of the people today in churches, they're doing the same thing. They're catering to the younger generation. And as a result, they're toning down, they're giving in, they're getting rid of, and all that. Why? Just so they can fit in with the younger generation. And as a result, man, they're trading a lot of things, and it's going the wrong way. Amen. And my desire is that we keep standing for what's right. Amen. Brother Box in his Sunday school lessons talking about how the church does not take a stand anymore. The church just maintains distance from the world. If the world's going this direction, the church just maintains that distance. Well, we don't do like the world does, but the world keeps going. They don't stop. They just maintain distance. It's like, let's not lose sight of them. You know, we don't want to do that. The church is supposed to take a stand, amen, and say, hey, we ain't going any further. Amen. And I encourage that's what we ought to do, amen, as believers in the Lord, is to take our stand, amen. All right, here, I looked this up this morning, so y'all forgive me using my phone up here, and I wanted to look it up because I wanted to read you the lyrics of this thing here. There's a song here, the name of the song here this morning is, it's Somebody Go Get God, amen. Somebody Go Get God, and it says, you know, it talks about here, it says, God is faithful to hear his children. Victory will come our way. He cannot send them. He cannot send them until we ask him. Somebody needs to pray. This chorus says, somebody go get God. Somebody go get God. Tell him we're thirsty. Beg him for mercy. Will somebody go get God? It says, we have a problem from Holy Script. We have a promise from Holy Scripture. One that makes God's children brave. That if we seek him while we can find him, we can move his hand today. Somebody go get God. Amen. And that last part there says, seems we're losing to Satan, even losing our children. But there's still hope at Calvary if we all share these burdens. Somebody go get God. Amen. And that's what I believe. I want to preach on that thought this morning. Somebody go get God. Somebody. Amen. Let's read our verse here. I know 2 Chronicles chapter 7 is Old Testament. I know it's Solomon praying at the dedication after the temple. I understand all that. But look at this. This is a good verse. It's good old-fashioned. Those old men of God used it to preach for revival. They used it to preach how people get right with God. So I still think that will work today. Amen. Sometimes we get so dispensationally stuck that we can't even get no help. Amen. Look what it says here. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Notice here. Then will I hear from heaven. That's the whole idea here. We want God to hear. Amen. I know God hears everything, but did you know a lot of times the idea is that God responds God says, I'll come. Yeah. Amen. And that's the idea behind that song. Somebody, go get God. Somebody. Someone, man. Get a hold of the Lord. We need God right now. And we need Him to hear. We need not only to hear, but we need Him to forgive their sin. Bible says there, and to heal their land. I mean, I'll tell you what, man. If our country, America, I believe in America. I'm American, top of my head, bottom of my foot. Amen. I'm not saying that I'm Indian first. No, I say I'm an American. Amen. Born in this country. Man, I love this country. I love what it stands for. I love, man, the things about our country, man, that makes it America. I love our heritage. I love our beginning. But, man, there's things going wrong in our country. Amen. And it's not what we, not what the America we know. They're trying to erase from our history books the God, and they've tried to get them out of school. They've done all these things. And that's one thing for our country. But then, man, it not only bothers me, but then it bothers me that, man, that our churches, they don't seem to be taking a stand. Like I said, they're just going backwards and backwards, and just say, okay. Somewhere you got to say, hey, man, that's enough. Somebody needs to go get God on our behalf, amen. And in our church here, man, those of you that know and don't know, man, some of you that you just haven't been here a while, but you know, we've been praying for a pastor, man, and been trying to help lead the church. Say, man, we need to start seeking one, amen, and start saying, God sent us the man you'd have, amen. Somebody go get God, because we need one, amen. We preached on it last Sunday night, man, the importance of it, because a lot of times there's some folks that gotten the idea that we don't need one. Everything is going good. No, everything going good, it's not because, man, God's blessing. It's because everybody's just doing what they normally do. No one sat down and said, hey, we need God. We need to seek God's help in this thing. Yeah. Amen. No one's willing to change some things. They say, man, God, we want something different here. No, it's just everything's functioning. And, you know, I think that's kind of sad when we disobey what the Word of God says. Amen. And I encourage you all, man, let's get God. Somebody go get God here. I don't know who it might be. You know, I learned a lot of times in preaching church service, a lot of times it's one person that holds a key a lot of times. Sometimes it might not be one person. It might be one family, man. They hold the key in their heart. If they just give up and give in all the way, man, you know what God does? God moves on their behalf. Somebody go get God. Amen. I don't know where you're at, what you're needing, but do you feel the need to get God this morning? I mean, we need Him more than we need anything else. Amen. And this verse there says that it says, it might be what you're called by mine. He lays that responsibility on the people of God. It's not on the Republicans. It's not on the Democrats. Amen. It's not on the libertarians or the independents. It's not on, man, right wing, left wing. It's not on, man, a certain denomination. He said, my people. Amen. He didn't say the governors. He didn't say the politicians. Hallelujah. Amen. It's funny how that because of that last election, when so many Christians thought that it was because we had the right president, that, man, our country's going to be turned around. It ain't that. It's God. Amen. It's not somebody go get President Trump. It's somebody go get God. Amen. It's not somebody let's elect the right leaders. Let's vote for the right laws. No, it's somebody go get God this morning. And this passage here, you find there, he said, man, we'll call mine, he shall humble himself, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. He said, I'll hear. And I want to look at some passages here. Those examples there of humbling yourself, praying, seeking his face, and turning from wicked ways. I want to show you some passages in the Bible, four examples of people that went to get God and got God's attention. They did those things, and God turned and said, whoa, stop, for them, to show you, and that it's possible for every one of us here. I mean, our church, we could get God if we want to. Individuals here, you go get him. Or you could just sit there and say, well, I like it the way it is. Amen. If you go like it the way it is, then it's, man, I mean, we're appealing to someone else this morning that says, hey, I want God in this thing. Amen. So we're going to preach a little while on that thought here. Lord, I pray for your help this morning. I thank you, Lord God, for your word. Thank you for the good singing already, Lord. Thank you for the people that are here. I pray, Lord God, now your spirit would fill me, and I pray you'd fill all those that would let you this morning. God, may you do a work that only you can do here. God, and I pray that, Lord, in a good way, you would stir around here, Father. May no one go away from this place unaffected. May no one go away from this place not having felt your presence, your Holy Spirit tugging at their heart. Whatever that tug might be, whether it be for salvation, whether it be to get what's right, whether it need just to draw closer, whether it be just to seek you out, Father, and do their part, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that everyone will go away feeling a tug of heaven from the Holy Ghost of God. Have your way now, Lord. We sure do love you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Somebody go get God. I want to show you some examples here. Turn with me, first of all, in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter number 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. I want to show you the first example of somebody humbling themselves and getting God. 1 Kings chapter 21. So we got four main points here. And you turn to these places and you find them, we'll get to preaching real good here. Amen. Get a good rhythm going. You get a good rhythm going, tell you what, man, you can really just preach yourself to death and have a good time. Man, amen. But if sometimes you don't get a rhythm going, it's just kind of like. 1 Kings chapter number 21. This is the story of Ahab and Naboth. Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard. I read this chapter and I thought, man, good night, man. I mean, what kind of man was Ahab? And just go home crying to his wife, and his wife said, "But don't dare there, baby. Let me go get it for you." And man, I mean, she just goes and kills Naboth, man. I mean, good picture of Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton here, amen. Murdering all that didn't agree with them, amen. But anyway, nonetheless, on here we have them going on here, and as we see them here going on. All that just bad. Now look what it says here. Bible says here. Look at here with me. Verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah Tishbite. This is after Naboth was killed and all that. Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he's in the vineyard Naboth, where he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said unto Elijah, hast thou found me, O my enemy? He answered, I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that is against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. Make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like house of Baasha the son of Ahijah, for the provocation where thou hast provoked me to anger, and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth Ahab in the city the dog shall eat, and him that die in the field shall defile the air eat. Notice verse 25 and 26. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all things did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. So he's had Naboth murdered. He's stolen his vineyard. I mean, the Bible just goes and tells you what kind of man Ahab was. One of the most wicked kings. Did worse than everybody else. He sold himself to evil. And I mean, after reading about Ahab, we would all agree. Man, just a wicked, wicked man. And not only his man, I mean, his wife was even worse. Amen. It's one thing for the man to be wicked, but man, the wife too? I mean, Bible says she stirred him up to iniquity. I mean, she just, man, furthered his wicked causes. I mean, it's one thing, man, the husband, man, but the wife too, man, and she was just evil all the way to the core. And Elijah pronounces the judgment of God on them. He says, man, you know what? God's going to do this to you, to her, man, to your family, to everyone left. I mean, just pronounces the judgment of God on them. But then look at verse 27. And it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his flesh, fasted, lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbled himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days. But in his son's days will I bring evil upon his house. Woo! Somebody go get God. Somebody humble yourself. Go get God. If the most wicked king ever lived could get God's attention by humbling himself, how much more could God's people get a hold of God if we would humble ourselves? Amen. I mean, think about this, man. I read this, and I just sitting there this morning, my mind, like kids say, mind blown. You know, that little emoji with the blowing up on the head. I got to thinking on this, man. He deserved the judgment of God. Yeah, he was wicked. Yeah, he led Israel to idolatry. Man, he married the
I'm going to prolong this. I'm going to give him even further. Why? Because he humbled himself.
Somebody go get God. Somebody this morning, humble yourself before God. Somebody here. I mean, what would happen if we all humbled ourselves? Amen. You know what? The first thought, I don't need to. Well, there went God. And tell me, the most wicked man could do it? You can't? The most evil king that ever lived. And just like I said, Bill and Hillary Clinton, the equivalent today, to put it into your terms, if Bill Clinton today could humble himself for all his wickedness, man, we think, man, wow. What would happen here? Amen? Just humble ourselves. Just come to God and say, God. I looked at the word humility. Lowliness of mind. A deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God. When was the last time you had that kind of feeling? Just a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God. Self-abasement and submission to the divine will. The modern definition, that was Webster's 1828, modern definition is this here. Modest opinion or estimate of one's own importance. Someone who is not proud does not believe they are better or more important than others. In this passage here, the king, here's the king of Israel, the most powerful man in the nation of Israel. What did he do? He put off, the Bible says he rent his clothes. That was his royal clothing. That was that clothing that spake, man, when they looked at him automatically, that clothing spake of his royalty. It spake of his position. He went and tore that. He rent it off. He said, no, I don't need these. Not only that, the Bible says there he only rent his clothing. The Bible says there he went and put sackcloth upon his flesh. Best thing I could liken sackcloth, it was like them old-fashioned gunny sacks. Y'all know what gunny sacks are? Amen, them burlap bags, amen, some of them brown. We do the three-legged race, with potato race, all of that, with that kind of thing. You put that in there, man, jump around, that real itchy stuff. That's like he put that on his flesh. Why? To afflict himself. Knowing that, the Bible says he fasted. Oh man, he got away from food and all pleasures of life. And then furthermore, the Bible says there, he says he went softly. It's kind of like he just didn't draw no attention to himself no more. It's kind of like, where's Ahab? He's kind of just, no one had a hard time finding him. Why? Amen. That's humility. Somebody go get God. You know who's going to go get God? The one that humbles himself. The one that shows the God, Lord God, I'm not that important. God, I'm not so right with you that I can't bring my mind, my heart, my body under subjection to your divine will. God, you want this, and I'm going to do my best to bring myself in line with that, dear God. That's humility. Lord, I don't think I'm any more important than anybody here. Amen. You ain't. Amen. Could you just deny yourself a day to seek God? You get God? Fast? Cut off, man, all man food and worldly entertainment for a day just so you could get God's attention? Depends how bad do you want to go get him? Or let me ask this, how bad does it have to get that we need to get him? Amen. Humility. I mean, we want to get to that point. God, I want you bad. Go on softly. Not drawing attention to self no more. That's someone go get God. Amen. See, in this world, in this society, in America right now, man, you know, you hear me knock it all the time, but man, social media is killing American people as well as Christians. Because it's all about me. Look at me. Look what I am doing. Look how good I look. Look how handsome. Look how beautiful. Look at my clothing. Look how in shape I am. Look at where I go. Look what I've done. Look where I've been. Look at all that. Could you for a day, for a few days, just not? And humble yourself. Amen. Somebody go get God. Say, I need to go get God, man. I need to humble myself. If the most wicked king could get God's attention, how much more could we get his attention? Not only humbling ourselves, but next thing, notice there, it says, pray. He says, if you humble ourselves, we pray. You say, well, I pray. Well, look at this. Look at some examples. Look at Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. So, man, somebody go get God, man, by humbling yourself. Not only that, but then not only humble yourself, but then also pray. Here we have Saul of Tarsus on that Damascus road going over there to see, kill, persecute more Christians there in Damascus. And while he's going there, man, he has a one-on-one meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says there's one born out of due time. Amen. I mean, he was born again there meeting the Lord on that road there. And then notice down there, after he's been born again, he's partly blinded. But notice there, Bible says there, verse number 10, the Bible says there, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. You know what God took notice of there? Man praying. He said, hey, Ananias, go to that house over there. He said, when you get over there, you're going to find a man there named Saul of Tarsus. He said, he sees a man named Ananias coming and laying hands on him, praying. And he's sight and receive, filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, why don't you go over there and do that for him? You know why? Because he's praying. What does that show you? Somebody got a hold of God. God ever take note of your prayer line and say, hey, they're praying for this. I better do something on their behalf. Amen. Look at chapter number 10. Look at chapter number 10. Same thing here. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea named called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Guess you could say he was a good Roman Catholic here. Amen. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, with grace, which gave much alms to the people, prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently by the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for memorial before God. God answered this lost man's prayers. Why? Because he's praying. Look down further in the rest of the chapter here. It gives you the same thing. Verse 30. Peter, he's reciting to Peter. Verse 30. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting till this hour. And ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. And thy alms are had in the remembrance in the sight of God. Somebody go get God. Pray. Your prayer will get God's attention. I believe it's a specific kind of prayer, though. Amen. I want to say some things about that. What kind of prayer should you pray? I believe this sincere, not ritualistic. Sincere prayer will get God's attention. I mean, that's just when you and God are sincere. I mean, what do people say? They say, let's have a heart-to-heart talk. And you just kind of be sincere with people. Just tell them the truth. People have this phrase, you know, it's kind of a funny phrase, But anyway, I know it's they're trying to get a point across. They say this, well, let me just be honest with you, and then they'll tell you something. What are they trying to do? They're trying to be sincere. They're trying to say, hey, I'm really serious about this thing right now. Well, I believe the kind of prayer get hold of God will be a sincere prayer. Amen. It come up before God. You know what the Bible says over there in the book of Revelation chapter 8? It says their prayers are like the incense, the offering of the incense, or as the prayers of the saints. I mean, you know what that's like? Man, our prayer is like incense before God. It comes up before the throne of God. And it can only come up so many times and God not pay attention. But it's got to be sincere. It's come from your heart. They said, do you have to pray like me? You don't have to pray like me. You don't have to pray special words. You don't have to pray, say the things I say. Let it be your words the way you understand it. And you go to God with your understanding at your level and say, God, this is what we need. We need help here. God, my home needs help. My family needs help. God, my church needs help. Lord God, we need help. God, I don't know what kind. I can't explain it. Lord, all I know is we need some help. God, I know our country ain't going the right way.
Lord God, I know that, man, that things ain't been going right, but God, we need some help. I don't know what kind of help to ask for, but God, I'm asking you, please. Sincere. Not ritualistic. Amen. There's too much ritualistic dead prayers. Amen. Just like, well, I pray because I'm supposed to. I pray because I gotta do that before I go to bed. I pray because I gotta get it when I get it more I'm supposed to. I pray because, you know, I'm over here in front of the people and I gotta do this. And we go back on Wednesday night back there or Sunday night, we go back. Well, we gotta pray because we're all back here. Man, what about some sincere prayer? I say, you don't have to pray like any of us. You don't have to copy any of our prayers. But man, let it be you sincerely. Let it be you. Don't put up a front to anyone. You're not there to impress no one. You're not there to impress anybody. You're there just being sincere with God. And say, Lord, I know we need to pray here tonight. Lord God, if anything, Lord, just bless the church service tonight. Help the preacher. Lord, fill him. Lord God, I need something. I don't know many else, but God, I sure need something. Sincere, not ritualistic. Not only sincere, not ritualistic, but second of all here, I believe this, just simple, not repetitive. The Bible talks about vain repetitions. Man, people get used to that, vain repetitions, man, just saying the same thing over and over. Man, just be simple in your prayers. You know how the Bible says pray without ceasing? That pray without ceasing, I believe, a lot of times it's just simple prayers, man. I've been doing a study in Nehemiah and all his prayers that he prayed. I've counted up 13 prayers in the book of Nehemiah, and all his prayers, just real simple. Remember me, O Lord. Remember me, O God. Lord, just do that. And there's one passage I like. He says, then I pray to the God of heaven. It don't even say what he said. It just says, he threw up one real quick. Simple. Sometimes we think it's got to be real fashion, deed. No, man, just be simple. God will hear that. Sincere, simple. Man, best way you know how. See, I'm glad there's not a divine prayer language in the sense of where you got to learn these special words. Amen. I mean, well, I gotta learn all these words, man. They're using all these big words while they pray. I need to. No, that's if maybe they understand that word, so let them use it, man. You don't. We say, well, then don't use it. It don't, man. I mean, you're not praying so we can hear you. You're praying so God can hear you. And be simple. Let me help you out here. Don't pray above your intelligence. Amen. I mean, your intelligence level's here. Well, then don't try to go higher than that with your prayer. Trans, you know, I mean, we're trying to use some kind of word real fancy there, you know. Oh, man, I believe in my advocate. I mean, well, what is an advocate? Well, the Bible says it. Yeah, I know, but you, what does it mean to you? Just keep it simple. Amen. Don't use vain repetitions. Pray. Somebody go get God and pray. No, that kind of prayer, but prayer is spiritual. Sincere, it's simple, it's spiritual. It's spiritual because it's done through the Holy Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, Bible says, for the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. For we know not what we ought to pray for as we ought. But man, he makes intercession for us according to the will of God. The Spirit of God, man, sometimes, man, I mean, just getting in the Spirit when you pray. If you can get in the Spirit while you sing, and you get in the Spirit when you come to church, well, get in the Spirit when you pray. Amen. Well, it'll take me a while. That's all right. We'll take a while. Amen. We ain't in a rush. Sometimes, man, when you get in the prayer, when you get in the Spirit, get your mind in the right place. Amen. While you're on your way to church, turn the radio off. Don't holler at each other. I know that's hard for some of you, amen, but I mean, man, don't holler, don't fuss. Don't be cranky. Eat before you come. Something, man, so you won't be cranky when you get here. Some of you, that's why you're hangry all the time, amen. You're just hangry about everybody and everything. I just can't listen. Well, eat something before you come. Some of you drink an energy drink before you come. Something. Hey, man, get yourself a spark. I don't know, man. Something, man. Don't come here and like, oh, I mean, get in the Spirit somehow, man. Get the right mindset and say, Lord, I want to get in this thing and put my effort in this thing. I want to pray. Man, I want the Spirit of God, man, to help me with some things. And let the Spirit of God work. You know what's good? When the Spirit of God, and I know it's good to use a list. And we ought to use a list. But sometimes, man, you can get praying off on some things, and man, where the Spirit of God brings things to your remembrance, brings answers there. You ever had an answer come while you was praying? Lord, we got this decision to make, and Lord, this just about the time you're going to explain the situation to the Lord said, now, well, Lord, you didn't hear the whole thing. Now, hold on now. I need to tell you this whole thing we were planning to do. This trip we was planning to take, Lord, you don't understand. We took time off. We got all sorts of money for it, Lord. And Lord still said, nope. No, Lord, hey, hold on. Let me tell you this. My wife said that she wanted to go over here, so I've sacrificed all this time, Lord, and the kids really need a break right now. And Lord said, nope. Well, Lord, I know you didn't hear about it. I'm, no, man. He said, no. When the Spirit of God gets in that thing, man, just stop there, move on. Amen. Sometimes, man, the Spirit of God, when he's in there, he's praying. Sometimes he'll bring things to your mind while you're praying. You ever had that? You're praying there, it's not even on the list, but man, something comes to your heart, or you come across a name on your prayer list, somebody there, and man, you start praying for them, and all of a sudden you begin to, man, it's like things come into your mind, man, their situation, what they're going through, their feelings, and all their heartaches, and man, that's how it's affecting their family, man, it's affecting their ministry. Oh man, Lord, help them, man, then you just pour your heart into that thing. Hey man, somebody go get God, pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost, the Bible calls that. Amen. So we don't have humble yourself, praying. Number three, look over here with me at Luke chapter 19. We're looking at people who got a hold of God. They got God's attention. Luke 19 verse 1 says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Whew, no one got his attention in Jericho. Entered, passed through. I mean, he went through it. It'd be like where we live, man. He showed up in Gardendale. He come in over there, man, from Fultondale side on 31, walked through, man, got to there near Main Street, cut across, man, on Fieldstown, walked through Fieldstown, man, got on Interstate 65, and then walked up the next exit, and man, no one even noticed. Man, wouldn't that be a shame? That's what happened here. Came Jericho, and then Bob said he just passed through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans. Oh, this guy's a thief then. He was rich. And notice here, we're talking about seek his face. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. Man, we could preach all day on that right there, amen, because of the press. Fox News, CNN, HLN, MSNBC, and all them right there. They all get in the way. Because he was little of stature, so he was short. I ain't got nothing against short people, amen. But somehow short people always got something against big people. They got that little man syndrome. You ever notice that? Little people, they always got that thing about, man, I bet I could do that. I'm like, who cares, man? I mean, you're little. So what, man? I mean, I don't say that. I bet I could fit through a little tiny door like you. I don't say that. Hey, man. Man, I wish I was your size. I could be Ewok too. Amen. I mean, we don't say things like that. But little people, they're funny. They get that little man syndrome. Bible says he little stature and he ran before. Now, you could have stopped right there. He sought to see Jesus. What makes seeking Jesus different? He could have just stopped at verse 3 and then there'd be no story about him. But the idea was seeking Jesus requires effort. He ran before. So that means he got way ahead where he was anticipating where he was going to go. Then he climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, saw him, said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy... Oh, there's someone who got God's attention. Why? He made the effort. When he says there, man, somebody go get God, humble yourselves, pray, seek my face. When he says seek my face, he says make an effort. It's one thing to say, well, I saw God last time. Well, how much of an effort did you make to seek God? Yeah. Well, I prayed about 10 minutes. But then it was time to go to bed, so I had to go down. You know, I'm cranky when I don't get enough sleep. Yeah, we know. Amen. Well, you know, I tried that before. It didn't work. How long? What extent did you go to? How much effort did you put into it? Right. To seek God. What actions did you take that showed God you wanted to be around God? What's the old saying, man? Your actions speak louder than your words. Amen? That might be akin to that verse in James, and don't come about dispensation stuff here, but that verse in James where it says your faith is dead without works. Amen? I mean, you put no effort into it. What steps did you take? What effort did you make? To what extent did you go? What did it cost you? Here on Zacchaeus' part, he said, I want to see him. I want to seek his face. You know what? He wasn't even hoping he'd come home with him. He wasn't even hoping to have a meal with him. He just wanted to catch a glimpse of Jesus. I just want to see him when he passes by. The press is in my way. Everybody's in the way. I just want to catch a glimpse. I'm going to run ahead. I'm going to get on the highest tree I can find so I can just see one time and look at him. And that Bible says when he did that, the Lord stopped, looked up, and says, hey, you, come on now. He said, hey, I'm going to your house today. The Bible says he received them joyfully, put on a feast at the house. He said, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I took anything from any man, I restore him fourfold. And the Lord said, today salvation come to this house. He said, oh man, this man's got something. You know what? When he sought his face, he got something. He got more than he asked for. Somebody go get God. Because man, we need the Lord. Amen. Make the effort. How much effort are you making? And let me just throw this in here. How much effort are you making in seeking out a pastor? In praying for one? What can you point to in your life that you did for that? Amen. Seeking. Do you seek the Lord? It's easy to say, oh, it's a matter of the heart. Well, the Bible says man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Yeah, I just see your outward appearance. Your outward appearance says the same old, same old. Amen. Well, how much effort have you made to show God? Say, God, I'm really serious about this thing here. God, I want you really bad. God, I'm going to go all out here. Amen. Somebody go get God. Someone. Man, we sure need him. The church needs him, man. I need him. Amen. Our community needs him. Woo, our country needs him. Traveling the country, man, we need him. We need God. Here, this group, all y'all, me and y'all, we need him. Somebody, go get God. Make the effort. A lot of times we seek his hand, we seek his blessings, but we don't seek him. Turn from your wicked ways. Look at Matthew 21. Go to Matthew 21, last one here, about somebody, go get God. Turn from your wicked ways. He said, my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read you 2 Corinthians chapter 7, because this is a good place of what repentance is and turn from wicked ways. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9 says, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us and nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. You know what that's talking about there? That repentance, that man turning from wicked ways. You know what led to it? An emotion. You just got all messed up there. Sorrow. Came heavy on the heart. And it wasn't so much the person's, it was godly sorrow. God put some sorrow in that person's heart, man. There, and again, to work over it, man, the Bible says there, man, they, oh, man. I like what Job said there at the end of that book there. He said, I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. He said, I hate who I have become. Amen. That sorrow. Who gets God's attention? Those that turn from their wicked ways. Here's a good example of just what repentance is. Real simple. Matthew 21, verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. He came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Where them twain did the will of the Father? They said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God for you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publican, the harlots, believed him. And ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterward, that you might believe him. Several things connected with repentance. First of all, it's a matter of the will. And then when you repent, you believe. That's the end of verse number 32 there. I like that first one. There's your good example of repentance. Verse number 29. The father came to the son and said, Hey, go work today in my vineyard. Son said, I ain't done that. But the Bible says afterward, he said, Yeah, I'll go. He turned from his wicked way. What was his wicked way? I will not. And he went and did what he was supposed to. That's just simple, man. That's getting a hold of God's attention. What have you told the Lord? I will not do that. You know what would be the best thing for you this morning? Turn from that and say, Lord, I know I said that to you, but I'm sorry. I'm going to go do what you told me to do now. Amen. That's repentance, plain and simple. You said, I won't do it. All you mom and dads in here, you understand this. You had a child, and you're trying to teach that child, that son, that daughter to do things, and hey, go take trash out. Hey, man, go cut the grass. No, I don't want to do it. Then after a while, they say, oh, I'll go. That's repentance. You, what has God told you to do that you're not doing? Repent of it. Turn from it. Say, oh, Lord, I'll start that now. Amen. Some of you, it's time to grow up. You're not a kid your whole life. Turn from childish ways. Become a man. Become a lady. Leave all that stuff behind. Amen. Some of you turn from all your excuses you've made about things. And just say, all right, Lord, no more excuse. Amen. Some of you, man, just turn from worldliness. Lord, been trying to preach to you about separation and love not the world, but it's been hard for you because you love the world more than you love anything else. Amen. Lord says, nah, why don't you leave that? You know what you'd do? You would get God's attention. Somebody go get God. Repent. This other man, other son, should have repented, but he didn't. He said, I'll go do it. Maybe he said, I'll do it later. Maybe he said, man, when I feel like it. Or maybe he just said, yeah, I'll go. But he didn't do it. That's another thing to repent of. Saying you will and then won't. Saying, I don't need to do that, man, not right now. Preacher, I got a whole life ahead of me. In light of how the world's going, do you really want to do that? Amen. Man, in light of how things are just right now, say, man, you know, well, I'll wait for a while. How much longer are you going to wait? Some point, you just need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I just been turned away. Man, you get God's attention. Somebody, go get God. We need him. Our church needs him. Amen. Somebody. Our country needs him. Your family, some of you, your family, you got a whole bunch of your family lost. Some of your family ain't doing right. Go get God. God can do something about it. Man, it's like Zacchaeus, all he wanted was just a glimpse. But man, he got so much more. My thought to you here,
what if we got a bunch of folks here humble and stuff? What if we have others this morning that start praying? What if we have others that start seeking his face, making the effort? What if we have some here that just decide today I'm going to turn from that now? See, we don't need a whole bunch of you doing all four. We probably need a bunch of you just doing one of those things. Which one do you need to do most of? I could point out things, but I ain't going to do it. Some of you, it would be a whole real good if you just humbled yourself.
God would take note. Because you hadn't done it in a long time. Amen. Some of you tonight, you know what you this morning you need to do? You just need to start praying. Because you don't. You meet with us as men back there and ladies up here and but other than that, if we was to ask your spouse and said, hey, how much does your family pray? There would be none. But Jordan, won't you come? Come sing that song. She was hanging. Seek my face. Make the effort. Won't you make the effort? Not for me, not for these people here, but for God, to show God, Lord, I'm serious. I want you. Show God you're serious about what you're seeking him for. Maybe this morning, come talk and say, Lord God, I need to turn from that.